All right, if you have your Bibles, we're in the seventh chapter of Matthew, and well, we've kind of parked here on these, well, there's about four verses in a row here. That says, at verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. Now, Jesus taught in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, he says, I'm the door of the sheepfold. So when we're talking about entering in at the straight gate, what makes that gate straight is Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, when the world looks at this, they think straight gate means you can't smoke, you can't drink, you can't spit, you can't chew, you can't go with naughty girls that do all those things. The whole world is messed up with the lie of the devil. And they've tried to sanctify what we got from the evil tree. And this is basically what you get. You'll have lip service to faith in Christ, but then almost immediately, okay, now that you're a believer, you can't smoke, you can't drink, you can't spit, you can't chew, or they've got all these different kinds. And they vary from, if you're going down to Kentucky where they raise tobacco, everybody smokes in the churches. You know. So it depends. They change geographically. And what the church has done is exactly what Judaism did. Judaism under the Lord, you know, God called the various prophets and Moses and different ones and gave the law to the nation of Israel and gave the truth that had taken place from the time of the creation of Adam, or actually the creation of the original universe, and then the judgment of the earth because of the fall of Lucifer. All of that was given by God to Moses, yeah, but it was 2,500 years after it happened. And yet it's, you know, right on. It's the word of God. God can't lie. And so as we go through the Old Testament then we see that Adam had basically one thing that he wasn't to do. Eve, same situation. Adam was created, Eve was created from a rib from Adam's side. So that makes Adam Eve's federal head. Now, federal headship is the idea, like a federal government, when our government does things, we may not agree with what they do, but because they're federal head, they're our federal head, we're responsible for what they do. Okay. So when Adam sinned, we sinned. And Eve, of course, was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. And that's important. And we've looked at that over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where it says very clearly that Adam was not deceived. So then we see, as we get into the book of Romans, in our studies there, and we're going to go back there this morning, but we see that when Adam sinned, we all sinned. And that plunged the whole human race into sin. So before we're even born, and God is an eternal God, so everything is in the present tense to an eternal God. He's omniscient. Okay. So from all eternity, he knows everything that has happened, is happening, or ever shall happen, but he knows it all at once. And that's a little difficult for us to comprehend, but that's what the scriptures tell us what God is like. He's omnipotent. That means he has the power to do anything that's consistent with his will. You know, he's omniscient. That means he knows everything. You know, so before you pray, the Lord knows what you're going to ask for. You know, and you may stammer and stutter and not be able to say exactly what's on your heart, but he knows the need. And so we just cast all of our care upon him. And then many times I've experienced this a lot over the course of my ministry. It's not anything ethereal. But, for example, with our missionaries, they may make me aware of a particular need. And so I'll tell them, well, if the Lord supplies for us, then we'll be able to supply for you, but we'll just put it in the Lord's hands. And then all of a sudden I see more money in the offering than normal, and so we're able to take care of that. And these special needs. And it's just, it's the just are to live by faith. And we don't have to worry about expenses. The Lord said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the necessary things will be added unto you. And it keeps happening in the church, keeps happening in our personal lives. That's the way it is. We're just so supposed to recognize that we're sinners and that Christ died for us. Now, when God gave the Jews the opportunity to be under the law, they should have said when they heard the law, we can't possibly do that. But what they did say was, just as you can jack up a congregation, I've seen it done at, when I was going to Bible college, they'd have fellowship meetings, there'd be 3,000 people assembled at one time and this type of thing. And then they would start, it was interesting, they would collect money or pledges to keep the Bible college operating. And the interesting thing about it was that most of the pledges that were made were never filled. It was a matter of, such and such a church of such and such a place is going to pledge $10,000. In other words, we got to beat that, $50,000. And it ended up being a big brag fest. That's the flesh. Brother Stewart, when he would go to a fellowship meeting, he already had the check in his pocket. He wouldn't say anything. He'd just give him a check. And that's the way we're supposed to operate. And so when the missionaries make needs known to me, then I'll pray about them. A lot of times I never even mention them to you. But I figure the Lord knows all about it. If he wants us to take care of a special need, he'll supply the money. And he always does. So it doesn't mean that immediately, maybe a month or two before, then all of a sudden we have the extra. But usually it's almost make the request, and the request is fulfilled, and we take care of it at the end of the month when we support our missionaries. So the just are live by faith. The Scripture teaches us that we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That puts things in perspective. What is important? It's very easy for us because we believe in the grace of God. It's very easy for us to say, they don't need me there this Sunday or anything, just to kind of slough off. And so we do what we want to do, and our attendance for up and down, But I don't worry about how many people are here. The Lord's going to supply for us whether you're here or you're not here. But you should be here. And I don't want to make it legalistic. The reason you should be here is because ultimately, we're going to tell you a love story. We're going to tell you how much the Lord loved you and gave himself for you so that you could have eternal life when you don't deserve eternal life. I can have eternal life, and I certainly don't deserve eternal life in the presence of my Lord forever. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death. He's going to create us anew so that in heaven, actually, we're not going to have any blood in our bodies in heaven. Did you know that? The life of the flesh is in the blood. And before the resurrection, we got to get rid of the blood. And it could be pretty messy here on this earth when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first. It looked like it was a slaughter, but we can't find any bodies. Because the blood's got to stay here. We have a sin nature because of the blood. Now, I want to get back to this portion of Scripture in Matthew so that we can get back to the sin of Adam over in the book of Romans. So when Adam sinned, Adam was not deceived. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Therefore, Paul says over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man. Now, that doesn't mean that women can't teach women. They can. Or that women can't teach children. They can. But God placed you. This has nothing to do with sexism. God placed the woman in subjection to the man because the woman was deceived. And we just have to recognize that. That's not, that women are dumber or anything. It has nothing to do with that. The woman was in the transgression, and then Adam gave himself for his wife. Adam was the federal head of the human family. So as in Adam, not in Eve. Eve sinned first. But as in Adam, all die. See? So Adam's our federal head. And he passes to us a sin nature through the blood. So the life of the flesh is in the blood, and we receive our blood from our father, not our mother. And we've talked about that before. The woman eats food, all of this type of thing. The baby's in the womb, but from the mother's processed blood as it passes through the placenta, then the nourishment from that, what she has eaten and so forth, it passes by osmosis through the placenta into the baby's bloodstream, and then processed by the baby, and it's passed by osmosis back into to be processed by the mother's various organs. So little Kent can't pee in mama's womb. But it's all taken care of. Okay? And we're wonderfully and marvelously made. Yeah. And then, of course, when Eve sinned, Adam gave himself for his wife. So let's go over to the 7th chapter of Romans. Let me read a couple of verses here in Matthew first. Verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. Now, most people, when they read straight gate, they think that's a narrow way of living. No, the gate's narrow in that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There are myriad religious systems in the world, and they all came from the lie of the devil. And Eve was deceived by the devil and ate, and then when Adam ate, we all ate. And that's why we're born dead in trespasses and sin. So he says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. All religious systems are based upon the morality of man. But the morality of man, look it up in Webster's dictionary. I've got an unabridged in there that's about 5.5 inches thick. I can't hardly pick it up anymore, but... You look up morality, and what morality is, it's man's knowledge of right and wrong, or good and evil. Where did we get that? We got it from Adam. So we got a corrupted sense of right and wrong. Now, what are the religions of the world based upon? Well, we go back to the third chapter of Genesis, and we see that the woman was deceived. He said to the serpent said to Eve, yea, did God say, or did God really say that you can't eat of all of the trees of the garden? She said, we may eat of all of them, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we can't eat of it, neither can we touch it, lest we die. Is that what God said? No, God said, the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And they were to be keepers of the entire garden. So God didn't say anything about not touching it. So the woman increased the prohibition and lessened the punishment. And that's basically what you get in the religions of this world. You can't do this, you can't do that, you mustn't do this, you mustn't do that, and so forth. And they create a lot of problems with all these rules and regulations. Do you ever wonder why so many preachers are a little bit, a little weird? Well, the schools I attended. Of course, I was married and lived off campus. But if you lived on campus, you had a dorm for the men and you had a dorm for the women. And you couldn't date any of the women on campus until your senior year. Now think about that. Your hormones are raging. Yeah. You don't have to have a sexual intercourse outlet, but your hormones are raging and you can't even hold hands with a girl. You can't walk around the campus holding hands. That's a no-no. So all of these stupid rules that in order to create a very holy people. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Believe it! You know? And if you put people in a situation where there's not a natural outlet, you know, and of course, in the day in which we live, premarital sex is as common as bread and butter. Or maybe I should say bread and margarine. Yeah. When they first came out with margarine, it was white, looked like lard. And then it would have a capsule in a plastic bag, and you break the capsule and then squeeze it to dye it yellow. But they couldn't make it yellow because it looked like butter. Yeah. And if you're old enough, you remember that. But otherwise, are you kidding me? It's some really crazy rules out there, but they're all come from man's concepts of what's right and what's wrong. Yeah, and we can see it in our political systems. We have politicians that are more conservative that want to operate this country as it was founded with our Constitution and so forth. And then we see a big movement to move us to the left to become another communist or liberal nation in the world. And it seems like they have no sense with respect to this, which is the one country in the world that virtually everybody wants to come to. It's America. Why do they want to come to America? Because we have more freedom, we have more wealth, and so forth. But we keep, we'll pay you not to work, and now people don't want to work because they can get paid not to work. It's crazy. See? And we've got to get rid of the First Amendment, got to get rid of the Second Amendment. We want a leftist form of government. But look at some of the countries that were once rich. Venezuela, for example, at one point in time, Venezuela was one of the richest countries in the world. And now Venezuela, the people are starving to death. They haven't lost their raw materials that could make them wealthy. They just changed from being a free society to being a government-controlled society. And the people who rule are, they eat well, they're so on and so forth, but the rest of the people are poor. Why did people flee Cuba under Castro? Under Batista, Batista was an SOB. Everybody knows that. But then they started promising all kinds of things with Castro. And our press made Castro the Robin Hood of the Gulf nations. Yeah. And so, but then after they got it, we had people that would get on anything that would float to get out of Cuba and make it to America. And many died. You know, they were on inner tubes, they were on a little flotsam here or there, and some of them made it. And a lot of them didn't make it. Why would they run such a risk? Because it was the difference between a free society and a government-controlled society. So now we're a church that preaches the grace of God. And we're supposed to legalize you, tell you, you can't smoke, you can't drink, you can't spit, can't chew, you can't go to dances, you can't, They make everything to be some sort of sin, form of sin, as if sin is an outside influence. Sin is not an outside influence. Sin is an inside influence. You're never going to get rid of it, you know, because it's your nature to do it. And even though you've been born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and your faith, you still have a sin nature. And, yeah, it's modified somewhat because of the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. But we still have that sin nature. And so Jesus says, if you say that you have no sin, you deceive yourself. And the truth's not in you. See? So, we have to think of things from God's perspective. Now, where did the religions of the world come from? They all came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's an interesting thing. Nobody ever asked the question, what is a knowledge of good and evil? Well, if you go to Webster's International Dictionary, and I've got the unabridged version in there, and you look it up, it's man's sense of right and wrong. Yeah. That's called his morality. And it says it varies from one, you know, location to another, one group of people to another. In other words, there's no set standard feature for the morality of man. You know? And we can see that in our own laws in this country. You know? All of a sudden, you know, there's crazy things they're teaching in school. And Ava had a little friend in school. They're both 9 years old. And they've been teaching this, you know, LGBT, whatever the letters are. And so the little girl asked Ava, what are you? She said, well, what are you? She says, I'm bi. She's 9 years old. And she, in her mind, because of all of this crap that's being taught, she thinks she's bisexual. She has no sexuality at this point in time. Her body hasn't matured to the place where the hormones and things are working, you know. But she's bisexual. Nonsense, you know. And, you know, you look at them with a... And hey.
She asked her if she supported the LGBTQ. Uh-huh. And Ava said, no. And the girl said, I'm offended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that? That's nonsense from teachers and nonsense from parents. Yeah. And it shows you how far it goes. Well, what's the scripture say? A number of years ago here in Oregon, they tried to get a measure on the ballot to prohibit homosexual marriages. Okay? This has been quite a few years ago. And I got a phone call one day. And I said, well, you can try to stop it, but you're not going to stop it because our Lord says, as it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. You know? And the fellow said to me, you sure have a funny way of interpreting Scripture. Yeah, I believe it. Yeah. Okay. I want to move ahead here. Let me read down to verse 20. Okay, enter ye in, verse 13, at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. All of the religions of the world are based upon a man-made morality. It varies as much as the various cultures of the world vary. But what man believes to get to heaven all comes from the concept of right and wrong. Where did we get that concept? We got it from the devil. We didn't get it from God. Yeah. We got it from the devil. That was the temptation. Elohim doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall be as the gods, you know, knowing good and evil. Well, both words, you know, God doth know, singular there, and God's plural there, but it's the word Elohim in both places, which is the plural name for God. It speaks of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it goes on to say, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. They're going to say, we're your brethren. But inwardly, they're ravening wolves. Well, the wolf is the enemy of the sheep. Okay? Ye shall know them by their fruits. So then they say, well, if they drink, if they smoke, if they spit, that's their fruits. No, it's not. It's their morality that's their fruits. You know, that's what they got from the evil tree. The difference between right and wrong. You say there's something wrong with that? Yeah, because it doesn't have any standard. It varies with the multitude of systems in the world. You've got as many different forms of morality as you have various religious systems of the world. They're all based upon what man deems to be necessary for him to get into the presence of God. And that's what man's morality is. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but how? But by me. So none of your religious works, none of your systems of morality can make you fit for the presence of God. It was your knowledge of good and evil that made you unfit for the presence of God. Now, lest somebody think, oh, he's crazy. Yes, it's better to do good than to do evil. You know, you break the law, you can get arrested, so on and so forth. Yeah, that is, unless we have a liberal government that says, you know, you can take as much as $600 from a place and we won't arrest you. Yeah, just utter chaos. Yeah, and that's what's going on at the present time in this this country that has had more freedom, more liberty, more wealth than any other country in the world. But we're going to supplant it with communism or socialism. You know, socialism, communism are just twin brothers. Yeah. Okay. So he goes on to say, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. They're going to come to you saying, we're your brethren. But they're really your enemies. But inwardly, they're ravening wolves. They want to make merchandise of you. Ye shall know them by their fruits. So then the natural way to look at this is, well, you can't smoke, can't spit, can't chew. All of these little rules and regulations. That's not their fruits. Their fruits is that you get to heaven by the life that you live, by your morality. That's what came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yeah. Now, don't misunderstand. Good behavior is better than bad, but you can't get to heaven by your behavior. It takes perfection to get to heaven. And Jesus, who is God, became a man, stood in our stead in life, and stood in our stead in death, and bore our judgment so that he could freely offer us eternal life by a singular act of faith, which he gives to us to believe. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Okay? And it goes on to say, and thy house. In other words, train up your children in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. So even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now, I want to go back to Romans again now. And when we're talking about trees, we have to remember how sin was introduced into the world. It was introduced by the devil who planted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We don't really learn that until we get in the parables that Jesus taught. If we read it back in Genesis, you can have the idea that God put that tree there. No, the devil put it there. And so in the parable of the sower, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Yes. Well, whence hath it tares? An enemy hath done that. So who is the singular enemy? The devil. And what did he introduce into God's paradise? A concept of right and wrong, a self-determined concept of right and wrong. That's the problem. What's good for me? You know, my wife's a little frigid, so I've got two or three girlfriends on the side. That a man has a way of justifying whatever he does. See? And so, yeah, yeah, she's kind of frigid, she's kind of homely, this and that. And so they began to make up rules for special situations and say, okay, that's okay. And now with this LGBTQ, whatever thing it is, you know, in the old days we just called them queers. Yeah. And I remember, I think I was in high school, I didn't even know what the word queer meant. And I said to some kid, you dumb queer. And my dad took me aside and he says, don't use that word. And he explained to me what it was. You know, but that's what happens. You know, children use, you know, you get all this rap and stuff, and they start quoting things and saying things. They don't even have any idea what it is. Do you suppose that little girl, when she said, I'm bi, that she knew what she's talking about? She's not old enough. Her body hasn't changed yet to give her. I mean, yeah, she's got the organs of a young woman, you know. But her breasts have to develop, the hormones have to cause certain changes in her body, and they will. And within men, it makes the changes. So you don't really think much about it until you get to be about 12, 13 years old. And all of a sudden, those girls look pretty good. Before the, I don't have any girlfriends. Bah, humbug. And you watch it, you know. It's just the way we are. Yeah. And people are afraid to say the way we are, you know. Okay, now, we've already looked at the fall of Adam in verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, Romans 5:12, and death by, it's literally the death, it's both spiritual and physical, the death by the sin, and so the death, you know, both physical and spiritual death passed upon all men, for that all not have sinned. It's true, we've all sinned. But this verb is in the aorist tense, which is a punctiliar act in times past. So when Adam sinned, you sinned. It was one sin. You didn't even have the opportunity to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because God put Adam and Eve out of the garden. But everybody is counted to have eaten of that tree in Adam. You say, well, that's bloody unfair. You know, well, if Adam was counted to have eaten of that tree, then, or if you can be charged with Adam's sin, then you can be charged with Christ's righteousness. You can't have one without the other. So as in Adam all die, so in Christ what? All are made alive. Okay. That's why Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but how? But by me. He had to come as a Jew under the law, live his life as a Jew under the law, and fulfill every jot and tittle of the law, have no fault at all, and yet die for sin. Yeah. He had no cause of death. But he willingly took our sins upon him, so that when he was hanged upon the cross, the scripture says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And then it also says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ was cursed for you and for me. Okay. And when we enter into the fact that he bore our judgment on that cross by faith, and God gives us the faith to believe it, when we believe that, then his righteousness is charged to our account. And nothing is remembered against it. Because the promise is, their sins and iniquities will I remember against them no more. So, things that you haven't even done yet are under the blood. That's not an excuse to sin. That's an excuse to try to serve the Lord to the best of your ability. You know? But you're never going to be perfect until the trumpet sounds. You know? Or with death, what happens? Well, when Paul died at Lystra, when he was stoned to death there, he wrote about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and he said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I couldn't tell. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. Now, he's describing this in the third person as if he's talking about somebody else. And then he later it becomes plain from that 12th chapter. Then he's actually talking about his own experience. He was stoned to death. His body was in the dump. But he was instantly in the presence of God in heaven. Didn't take a long time. Instantly there. And he was there so quickly and so smoothly, he couldn't tell whether he was in his body or out of his body. And then what does it say? He saw things that are not lawful to be uttered. Do you ever wonder why there's so little about heaven in the scriptures? Basically, it's the dwelling place of God. There's no sin there, you know, but it's the dwelling place of God. And that's about all we know about it. You know, all of it, they make up all kinds of stories, but you know, basically, it's the presence of God in heaven. No sin. And Paul was there instantly when he was stoned to death at Lystra. You know, I watched my wife pass from this world into that world, you know, back on the December 16th, I guess it was, in 2019. The Lord took her home. And, you know, it gave me peace when she was no longer suffering. You know, her last 3 years were pretty tough. And she had osteoporosis so severely that, you know, one day I came home and she was laying on the floor. She couldn't get up. Her hip had broken, you know, and she fell. So she just, you know, made herself comfortable and fell asleep. And I came in and found her. And when we got to the hospital, you know, later on we determined after her death and we had her cremated. You know, we use a service life's legacy. And it's a good thing to know about. If you... through life's legacy, if you give your body so that they can use it for medical research or whatever, then they don't charge you for the cremation. You know? So it virtually makes the whole thing that in the funeral world, with all of the emotion in this world, they're charging people astronomical fees for death. Well, this body's, it's an empty house. You may as well burn it down. You know. But when I got my mother's ashes from my sister in their outside, planted under a stone, and another one for Joanne's. Mom's ashes were about 6 pounds. Joanne's was 7.4 ounces. You see, how come so little bone? Well, they probably sawed those bones in the pieces and sent them to medical schools and doctor's offices and so forth all over the world to show severe osteoporosis. And if you've ever seen it in a doctor's office, I've seen one. It looks like the termites have been at work. And eventually that's why her hip broke. The structure fails. And she, and just popped the joint and down she went, you know. And no way to get up till I got home. Okay, let's get back to the scriptures now. Okay, so we have that going on in our body. Death works in us. Yeah. Now, I never really expected to live as long as I've lived. I'm 89 years old, and other than my heart being out of rhythm, I'm in pretty good shape. But I can't do the things I used to do because the slightest amount of exercise wears me out. Yeah. So... after all these years, I'm having to designate authority. Because in the past, it was much easier. If I came and saw some weeds in the flower bed, it was much easier for me to just dig them up and get rid of them before they became a problem. You know, if there was a spot on a chair, clean it right then, because easier to do it than wait to designate it for it to be done. And that's just the way I operated. But the problem is... you guys got used to it. And I see stuff now, and I have to close my eyes because I want to get it figured. Do it. Get it done. Get it out of the way. Because that's the way I grew up. You know, Don't put off to till tomorrow what you can do today. Most people put off to tomorrow what they can do today. But my nature is, you see it, do it. Get it out of the way. And it works best that way. Because if you, you know, if you wait, like back when Ryan was doing our CDs, he'd get 4, 5, 6 weeks behind, you know. Well, then, you know, especially as slow as the internet now is now, you know, with the speedy internet, without all these kids on there doing their schoolwork and people trapped in their homes because of a so-called pandemic, you know, yeah, we pay a commercial rate for our internet, you know, but we don't get commercial speed, you know. Sometimes it takes me 5 minutes to put a CD on online. Sometimes it takes 45 minutes just because the internet is so slow. Yeah. Okay, get back to this. So, death for the believer is to be instantly in the presence of God in heaven, in a body which he promised in the 14th chapter of John, I go to prepare a place for you. Paul experienced that and recorded it for us. You know, and then Paul was raised back to life again and continued on his ministry until his head was removed by a Roman axe. You know, and it's pretty amazing what some people have suffered for the cause of Christ over the years. So death reigned from Adam to Moses. Now let's go over to verse 19 of the 5th chapter. For as by one man, that's Adam, one man's disobedience, was it? What was his disobedience? He ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now it's not by one woman's disobedience. Eve was lost with the inability to be saved until Adam ate of it. Because in Adam all die, so in Christ all be made alive. It takes the federal head. And that means it resided in Adam. Okay? So, Eve came from Adam's side, so she was from Adam. And then by progeneration, you know, through this sexual coupling, then Eve produced children, but she couldn't produce them without Adam. So Adam's the father of all of us. And Adam's blood flows in all of us. And that's why we have a sin nature. You know, and we won't get rid of it till we get rid of the blood. And we won't get rid of the blood until the time of death or the time of the first resurrection. So if it took place today, I think there would be some bloody clothes left here in the auditorium. And it wouldn't be any people. You say, what in the world happened there? You know, I don't think the world's going to show much interest because the Antichrist is going to say, I destroyed my enemies at my coming. Yeah, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do. And the devil attaches himself to anything to give him authority that's written about the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So, what shall we say then? I didn't get as far as I wanted to go. Told too many war stories. What shall we say then? Shall we continue, chapter 6 and verse 1, in not sin, the sin, singular, preceded by the definite article. And I talked about this before, and with this I'll close. Paul used this construction 3 times. He wrote 13 epistles of the New Testament. And he only used this construction, sin in the singular with the definite article, only 3 times in 12 of those books. But in one of them, Romans, he used it 30 times between chapter 5 and verse 12 and chapter 8 and verse 3. But the translators didn't translate a single definite article. What does that say to us? We're not talking about sin. We're talking about a specific sin. Why do we die? We die because of Adam's sin. So what shall we say? Shall we continue in the sin? Well, we got our knowledge of good and evil in that, and that's what man thinks religiously is going to put him in the presence of God. That was the lie of the devil. Shall we continue in this false sense of morality? It's never absolute. You know, the law demands absolute righteousness, and the Jews weren't able to keep it. The only one who could keep it was the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God. And so, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into the death of him, singular death, into his death we were baptized. Therefore, we were buried. You know, it says we are. No, this is a past tense verb. We were buried when Christ was buried, so are isn't correct. What do we see by these changes of tenses and the removal of the definite article? We see Anglican doctrine, which came from Roman doctrine, being put into our Bible, and now we've got a bunch of crazy Baptists in this country who believe in King James only. Well, I can take you through this King James Bible and show you mistranslations again and again and again. And I'll close, and we'll come back to this next time. Won't spend so much time on the porch next time. Look at, let's see, where do I want to? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12. So, let's see. No, is that what I want, or is it 7? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's verse 7. It says, little children, you know. In other words, you're little children. You're not adults yet. So that's spiritually speaking. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Is that true? There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. It's a direct contradiction. We're righteous because of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. So then we go to the primary meaning of the word that's translated doeth, and it's the Greek word poieo, and its primary meaning is to make something your own. So he that makes Christ's righteousness his righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. That's what took place at the moment of salvation. Okay? And then it says, he that maketh righteousness his own is righteous even as he is righteous. But is it true he that doeth righteousness is righteous? Yeah. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to God's mercy, he saved. So we've got a direct contradiction in the King James translation. And I can show you hundreds of them. Yeah. That doesn't mean that our Bible's not any good. But you have to recognize when certain words don't fit, you know. And it certainly doesn't fit that he that does righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. That can't be the correct meaning. You got your Greek lexicon out. You find the meaning of poieo. It's like if you adopt a child, you make her your own. If you marry a young woman, you make her your wife. And that's the primary meaning of poieo. So, if we make Christ's righteousness our righteousness by faith, we're righteous. That's truth. But if it's doing righteousness, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Got a direct contradiction. Okay. So, you know, it's just crazy how many Baptists thinking that they're supporting the inspiration of Scripture. No, they're trying to provide the inspiration of a translation. God inspired the Greek and Hebrew and Arabic scriptures.
Aramaic.
Aramaic. Aramaic. It's Arabic. Aramaic and Arabic would mean the same thing. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's the difference between the language of Esau and the language of Jacob. You know, Hebrew on the one hand and Aramaic or, Arabic on the other hand. Okay. And when they were carried away into Babylon, because certain things are written to in the book of Daniel are written to the king and his scribes. We have certain portions of the book of Daniel in Arabic, okay, or in Aramaic. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. This is so important, and I've been trying to rush it, but you can't rush it. So we're just going to take the amount of time that it takes to look at all 30 of these references between the 7th or the 5th chapter of Romans and the 8th chapter of Romans. And by the time we get through, you're going to understand that we're talking about a specific sin and not sin in general. Okay? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And as we reflect upon the word of God and the hope that we have in Christ, that, as I mentioned this morning, losing Joanne through death nearly 2 years ago now, I'm comforted because I know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so there's no sorrow in my heart. I miss her, but there's no sorrow. And I just praise you and thank you for the truth that we have in Christ that gives us comfort when the world is uncomforted. We bless now these things to our hearts and minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.